Good morning and welcome to worship this fifth Sunday after the Epiphany. It's wonderful to be here with you all. I invite you to stand as you are able. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord God, with endless mercy, you receive the prayers of all who call upon you. By your Spirit, show us the things we ought to do, and give us the grace and power to do them through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Shortly after the return of Israel from exile in Babylon, the people were troubled by the ineffectiveness of their fasts. God reminds them that outward observance is no substitute for genuine fasting that results in acts of justice, such as feeding the hungry, sheltering the homeless, and clothing the naked. A reading from the book of Isaiah. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To lose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. Word of God, word of life. Though people such as the Corinthians are enamored with human philosophy and wisdom, Paul continuously presents God's hidden wisdom, which is Jesus Christ crucified. True spiritual maturity involves judging ourselves and others in light of God's revelation in the cross. A reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Yet among the mature we do speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to perish, but we speak God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human being knows what is truly human, except the human spirit that is within? So also no one comprehends what is truly God's, except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. And we speak of these things in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual. Those who are unspiritual do not receive the gifts of God's Spirit, for they are foolishness to them, and they are unable to understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. Those who are spiritual discern all things, and they are themselves subject to no one else's scrutiny. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Word of God, word of life. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to
you, O Christ. May be seated. So here we are, almost to the end of this short green season, Sundays after Epiphany. And you'll recall that Epiphany was when the star led the Magi to Jesus. And during this season, we wear green to remind us that it is a season of growth, and growth in our understanding of who Jesus is and who Jesus is for us. So I like to tell the guys, think of a big light bulb coming on. We're understanding Jesus, the incarnate God, more fully during this season. So we have the call of the disciples. We hear about what Jesus is doing and why he is here. So this text follows directly on last week's text. So the sermon wasn't that short. Sorry, no. He goes on longer like the rest of us, with a lot to say. And this part of it is maybe not as well known and a lot more confusing. So what is going on with this salt and this light and comparing the people to the Pharisees and the scribes? Well, salt would have been a very common thing they would have known, that it provides flavor and it preserves and it's necessary. So if it's no good, it's no good. He's comparing that to us. And if you tie it in with the Old Testament reading, as it's intended to be here, we know what we are called to be and to do. God knows when it's a sham. Says the sacrifices are not enough. Right? Look around you and see what is needed. But it's not those things that provide for us salvation. So this text, Jesus might sound a little bit like he's taunting the people because they would not have been considered as righteous as the scribes and the Pharisees, the people who had the time and the luxury to follow all the laws and to study them. And Jesus is saying, you cannot do it on your own. Well, we already know that. And so when I was reading these texts and thinking about them this week, what I really heard about how we're learning about who God is what God desires for us. That our God is a compassionate, loving God, calling us into communities of care, where we are aware of our own needs and the needs of those around us, where we value relationship and what is to offer, where we clothe and feed and tend, not because we have to, but because we see God in the face of the other, because we recognize the gifts we have received, and we recognize the gifts that we need, that we're willing to receive as well as to give. So when I was hearing these texts, I was thinking about purpose. What is God's purpose, and what is our purpose? And God sent Jesus into the world, God incarnate in the flesh, in our midst, to draw us back into relationship with God. And it's out of that relationship that we are freed to do all of these other beautiful things that are talked about in our scriptures for today. To shine, to flavor, to care for, to tend, to love, to forgive, to allow people to grow and to thrive. So I thought that they were really quite beautiful texts. And I think I shared when I was here preaching not too long ago that I'm on the Lutherwood board now. So Lutherwood's a camp and retreat center up on Lake Sammish, not to be confused with Lake Sammamish. Lake Sammish up by Bellingham. And they had their annual meeting on Saturday, so I was driving back from the meeting, and there was this great story on NPR about storytelling and how we tell stories that we actualize, that are self-fulfilling prophecies. And you know that I struggle with chemical sensitivity, and one of the things that chemical sensitivity does to you is your brain gets stuck in negative stories about yourself and the world around you, and you have to constantly be recognizing that and correcting so that all the things that your body's feeling lessen. So I was thinking about how great that image fits with our readings for today, because we're learning about who God is, and we're learning in that about ourselves. So what stories are we telling about ourselves and about the world around us? Are they the same as the story God tells about us? As forgiven, seen, known, necessary, loved, sent? Or are they stories about despair and hurt and darkness, because that's what we hear in the news, and that fear that that can engender and grow? Are we being shut down? So I heard in our texts for today, along with many other things, this call to claim our stories and to tell them the way our Creator tells them about us and about our families and about our communities and about this world. To recognize that God has put us here in this place to be light, to work towards healing and wholeness and life, that we have been gifted in order to do this, that each of us have been gifted, that each of us is necessary in this fabric that we call community. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. God brings about salvation, but we, each of us, can impact every single day how we feel about ourselves and how the communities around us are doing. I attribute this to Mother Teresa, but others have told me they've heard it attributed to others. So attributed to somebody with a good heart, right? We can do no great things, only small things with great love. Here we are, gathered as the body of Christ, gifted with this word and a community that cares about us. And today we will hear invitation, where you are invited to feast on this meal, this body broken and this blood poured out for you, that you might have life and life in abundance, that you might feel the weight of your sins and doubts and fears fall off your shoulders, so that you can be released as you are sent out into the world, to continue to spread the good news that in our God there is room for everyone. In our God, our sins are forgiven. We are seen for who and what we are. We are called to repentance and new life. We are necessary and loved and good. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and the life.
Please sit or kneel for the prayers of the day. Called together to follow Jesus, we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Call your people to seek your wisdom in difficult conversations and action. Give the church everywhere courage to repent for the ways we have tolerated and practiced injustice, such as systemic racism. Lord, in your mercy. Inspire our wonder at creation, from the light of dawn to the beauty of the dark night. Sustain the unseen depths of the ocean to the plants and animals we know well. Bring healing to lands and communities experiencing natural disasters. Lord, in your mercy. Instruct the powerful in your ways. Provide upright leadership in business and industry that workers are not oppressed. Throughout the world, inspire voters and raise up politicians to heed your call for nations to practice righteousness. Lord, in your mercy. Loosen the bonds of injustice in our midst. Grant peace to endless quarrels. Put an end to hunger and break every yoke of oppression. Shelter all who flee abuse in their homes or violence in their communities. Satisfy those afflicted in any way. Lord, in your mercy. Shape our congregation to be salt for the earth. Give us delight in your commandments, that we are generous with those in need. Make us steadfast in our trust in you, ready with tangible mercy and compassion for our neighbors. Lord, in your mercy. For whom or what else do the people of God pray?
God of loving kindness, you desire fullness of life for everyone. Fill those who hunger, comfort the grieving, and attend to those near death. Bring help and hope to any who are sick or needing your care, especially Pastor Dan's family, Lene and Ivor, the Unseth family, the Ritchie family, Candy, Eunice, Elena's family, Richard, Jim, Ruth's family, Todd's family, Matthew, Kirsten, Kathleen, Finley, Kirsty, Michael's family, John's friend, Christine, Awatash, Mulugeta, Jan, Jean, Richard, Lee, Barb, Denny, Hildy, Mary, and Carol. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. The cross and resurrection bring redemption from sin and death. We praise you for all whose unshaken faith in Christ shines forth in their witness. Keep them in our remembrance and bring us with them into the kingdom of heaven. Lord, in your mercy. We bring to you our needs and hopes, O God, trusting your wisdom and power revealed in Christ crucified. Amen.
Please rise now as you are able for the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved son. And in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples to eat, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, blessed it, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." As we prepare our hearts for this holy meal, let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. In this place of grace, all baptized Christians are welcome to the table of grace. If you wish to receive from the pew, you may do so using your communicable at this time. Otherwise, we invite you to come forward and receive by intinction, which is taking the bread and dipping it in the wine or the grape juice. For those receiving in the pew, you'll first peel off the bottom tab to eat the bread, and then peel off the top to drink the wine. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Christ is among us. Receive the bread of life. Come and taste the joy of God.
Come and taste the joy of God.
forth abundantly from this table. Renew our strength to do justice, love kindness, and journey humbly with you. So we've reached the part for announcements. Welcome again to everyone, and if you're a visitor, please fill out a Connect or Pray pew card, or if you're not a visitor and need a prayer. Next Sunday, Jan Olson, our very own from the 8 o'clock service, will be leading the forum at 9 a.m. Grief Observed, My Journey with C.S. Lewis. So you're all invited to that in the library. Note that we need some volunteers to read scriptures in the coming weeks. The sign-up is in the narthex. Also in the narthex, two drafts of the church directory. You only have to look at one. If you look at it and it's correct, put a little check by it. If it needs changed, put in the changes. And then check your picture because you might not like it. I invite you to read the bulletin to find out about upcoming plans for Lent, including a brief after-worship work party next Sunday to clear out the chapel. You could stay for that. That would be appreciated. Are there any other announcements? Okay, I'm going to use my time up here with my mic to say I'm on the Lutherwood board, if you heard that during the sermon. And we have some exciting things going on up at Lutherwood. Has anybody been there? Yes, a few of you. So I hope more of you will be able to go. It's a beautiful camp up on Lake Sammish, so on the lake, in the foothills. And we just have a new interim director who's already hard at work doing a lot of really good things. And the board for these next couple years' main focus is accessibility, to pave some of the walkways, put in ramps so you can get into all the lower buildings, participate in the campfire and the waterfront. And we're looking for people to participate in other ways. So we're hoping to get people and congregations who are willing to donate $300 or more, because in the last 2 years, the cost of summer staff for the summer camp has more than doubled, and the budget has not been able to keep up with that. So we're looking for people to commit to giving, but also a congregation that gives is considered a voting member, so you have some say in the direction of the camp, and that also is very exciting, I think. So if you have any questions about Lutherwood, I could go on about it all day. That's the camp I grew up going to, so I have some funny stories. I'll be here after church. And you're forewarned, I'll be here next week too. Anybody else? Okay, well, it's been good to be here at worship. Forgive me my allergy voice disappearing. I invite you to stand for the benediction. God bless you and keep you. Jesus grant you grace and truth, and the Spirit send peace upon your hearts, now and forever. Amen. Amen.